Chapter 7 Friends and Enemies. Meanwhile, Halifax had two more pieces of bad news. The first was that Holland was planning to surrender two cities, Rotterdam and Utrecht, to the Nazis. The second was about a report that Joseph Kennedy, the American ambassador to London, had received from a colleague in Rome, which said that Mussolini had decided to join the war. If this happened, France would be in a terrible position because it would have two enemies on its borders, Germany and Italy. Halifax asked Winston to send a message to Mussolini to try to persuade him not to enter the war, and Winston agreed to do this. Winston then informed the War Cabinet about another message he was planning to send to President Franklin D. Roosevelt of the USA, asking for his help against the Nazis. When Winston was First Lord of the Admiralty, he had formed a very good relationship with President Roosevelt, so now he was able to write to him very openly. He told Roosevelt that the situation in Europe was getting worse. Hitler had invaded France and was destroying the smaller countries one by one, and Mussolini was probably going to enter the war on Hitler's side. Britain was expecting an air attack from the Germans, but the British people were preparing for it and, if necessary, we shall continue the war alone, and we are not afraid of that. He asked if Roosevelt could send 40 or 50 warships and several hundred planes and other equipment to help Britain. Winston told Roosevelt the British would pay for everything they were asking for, but if at some time in the future Britain had no money, he hoped that Roosevelt would simply give these things to Britain. He also asked if Roosevelt could send American ships to Ireland to prevent Hitler invading Britain through that country. Since 1933, when Hitler rose to power as Chancellor of Germany, Roosevelt had said that America would not take part in any future war in Europe. However, although they had no active part in the war, many people in the US were against Hitler. Roosevelt supported the Allies by selling them planes, ships, and other war equipment. 2 weeks before Winston wrote to Roosevelt, Britain had bought 324 fighter planes from the US for the Army and 81 for the Navy. After he had written to Roosevelt, Winston also wrote to the Italian dictator Mussolini, but it was a very different kind of letter from his letter to Roosevelt. That letter had been warm and friendly, but Winston's letter to Mussolini was very short. He reminded Mussolini about meetings they had had in Rome and asked if it was too late to stop a river of blood between the British and Italian peoples. Although they could hurt each other badly, he did not want this to happen. Nobody knew what the result of the battles in Europe would be, he told Mussolini. But England will go on to the end, even quite alone, as we have done before. However, Winston continued, he was confident that the United States would help Britain. He finished by saying it would be terrible for Britain and Italy to fight each other, and asked Mussolini to think again about entering the war. 2 days later, Winston received Mussolini's reply, but it was not very positive or friendly. He reminded Winston that in 1935, when Italy had attacked Abyssinia in Africa, Britain had encouraged other countries to join together against Italy. He also informed Winston that Italy had recently signed a treaty with Germany, so Italy's actions would be according to the policy in this treaty. At 11:30 a.m. on 16th of May, there was another meeting of the War Cabinet, and again the reports about the situation with the war were terrible. The German army had marched into France at a place near the Ardennes Forest that the French had thought would be very difficult for the Germans to cross. Now everything depended on what the French would do and if the French army would surrender to the Germans. Winston knew that the French Prime Minister, Paul Reynaud, was very worried and nervous, and he was afraid that Reynaud was planning to make a peace agreement with Hitler. So he decided to go to Paris and meet with Reynaud and encourage him to be strong and fight back. That afternoon, Winston flew to Paris with General Ismay. During the meeting, Reynaud and the French Minister of Defence asked if Britain could send more fighter planes to France. Although the French had begun the battle with 650 fighter planes, they now had only 150. Britain had lost 36 planes when defending the River Meuse. But Winston still called the War Cabinet and asked them to agree to send more planes to France. The War Cabinet met at 11 p.m. and agreed with Winston that they should send more planes. This made the French leaders feel more confident. Early the next day, Winston returned to London and reported what had happened at the meeting in Paris to the War Cabinet. He said that, although Reynaud was very happy that Britain was sending more planes, the meeting had not been easy. Meanwhile, Winston had received a message from Roosevelt, but it was not the answer he was hoping for. Roosevelt said that he was considering carefully everything Winston had said in his letter, but he could not help the Allies immediately, and everything would take time. Winston was very disappointed, as Roosevelt had been his last hope. So the War Cabinet decided Winston should tell the British people that they were in a situation of the greatest emergency, and Chamberlain asked Winston to make a speech on national radio. Meanwhile, the German army was moving quickly towards the north coast of France. There were about 400,000 British troops in France, with the British Expeditionary Force, BEF, in a position near the Belgian border with France. On Sunday, 19th of May, the War Cabinet met again to discuss whether it would be better for the BEF to retreat from their position and start moving to the north coast of France, from where it might be possible to evacuate them. However, Winston and some other members of the War Cabinet thought this would be a bad idea, because it would be very easy for the German planes to bomb the troops. After the meeting, at 6 p.m, Winston started planning what he was going to say to the people of Britain. He worked hard for 3 hours, thinking about the best words to make people feel strong and brave. At 9 p.m, he went on national radio to make his speech. Winston spoke to the British people honestly and openly, because he wanted them to understand that the situation was very serious. First, he told them about what was happening in the war. He said that a huge battle was taking place, and the German troops and tanks were moving quickly across France, but that the British Royal Air Force was helping the French army to stand against them. The German army was large, strong, and well-trained, with excellent equipment. However, Winston said he felt very confident about the French army and its leaders. Winston said that the German army had only invaded a small area of France and had lost many men in the attack. Britain's fighter planes were doing a great job and had attacked and destroyed many of the German planes, as well as bombing places in Germany where war equipment and weapons were produced. He then warned the British people to expect attacks from Germany over the next few days. Britain was ready for these attacks, and now people at home had to do everything possible to support the British soldiers fighting on the front line of battle. If Britain was going to win the war, the army needed more planes and weapons with which to fight the enemy. He continued by saying that, Our job is not only to win the battle, but to win the war. And that after the battle in France was over, there will come the battle for our island, for all that Britain is and all that Britain means. And that this would be a very difficult time. However, he had received promises from the French Prime Minister that the French will fight to the end and Britain would do the same. In the government he had formed, people came from different parties and in the past had different opinions, but now everybody had only one aim, to fight until victory is won and never to surrender. The British and French people would fight side by side to save Europe from the terrible danger in front of it. Winston's colleagues in Parliament thanked him warmly for this wonderful speech. Anthony Eden wrote to him that evening and said, "You have never done anything as good or as great. Thank you, and thank God for you." Stanley Baldwin, who had once been Prime Minister, wrote to him to say, "I listened to your well-known voice last night, and I want to shake your hand for a short moment, and to tell you that from the bottom of my heart, I wish you all that is good, health and a strong mind and body." Meanwhile, the first German tanks had reached the French coast near the town of Abbeville, just 50 miles across the sea from England. 10 days before, when the Nazis invaded Holland, Belgium and Luxembourg, most people had not believed that a strong country like France could also fall to Germany. But now it looked as if this could actually happen. Winston was becoming very frustrated that he could not get correct information about the war quickly enough. So he sent General Ironside to France to find out what was happening with the battle and the situation of the French, Belgian and British armies. Meanwhile, the War Cabinet met again on 20th of May at 11:30 a.m. to discuss how Britain could best support its allies. Winston and the War Cabinet agreed that they could not send any more fighter planes to help the French. They believed that the Nazis were probably going to try to attack Britain very soon. And if Britain was going to continue fighting, it needed all its planes to protect itself. However, if Britain did not help France, there was the danger that the French army would surrender to the Germans. The evening before, Winston had sent a telegram to President Roosevelt, asking if he could send more planes to Britain, and he was still waiting for Roosevelt's reply. He had told Roosevelt that Britain would never surrender to Hitler. General Ironside returned to London on the morning of 21st of May and came straight to the War Cabinet. Things had not gone very well for him in France. While he was staying at a hotel in Calais, the Germans had started to bomb it, and he had just managed to escape with his life. There was only bad news to report. He had become very frustrated with the French military leaders because they could not decide what to do. The Allied troops could not move quickly along the roads because of hundreds of thousands of people trying to escape from Belgium and the towns in the north of France. The German army was pushing forward to Boulogne on the coast with the aim of preventing the British and Belgian armies in the north from joining up with the French army to the south. Winston decided that he had to return to France as soon as possible to persuade the French leaders not to surrender. So, early the next morning, 22nd of May, he flew back to Paris to meet Prime Minister Reynaud. The BEF was in a terrible situation without enough food or equipment. If they reached the north coast of France, there was still the problem of how to evacuate 300,000 soldiers. The German Air Force, the Luftwaffe, controlled the skies and would bomb the troops while they were waiting on the beaches. However, when Winston arrived in Paris, there was some good news, The French had appointed a new military leader, General Weygand. Although the general was 73, he was very ready to make decisions and told Winston about his plan of war. Britain had already sent as many troops to France as possible. More British soldiers had arrived at Boulogne that day and were on the way to protect the towns of Calais and Dunkirk on the north coast of France. Weygand informed Winston that there was already a large number of French troops in these towns, and it would be a disaster for the British, Belgian and French troops in the north to try to join up with the rest of the French army in the south. Winston agreed with Weygand and flew back to London for a meeting with the War Cabinet at 7:30 p.m. Later, General Ironside wrote in his diary that he had been very surprised because Winston seemed so full of hope. Winston told the War Cabinet that an attack by British and French troops was going to happen the next day. But when they met again, on 23rd of May, there were no reports of an attack. Instead, the Luftwaffe were bombing Boulogne, and the German army had almost surrounded the town. The British had sent ships with more food and equipment for the BEF to Calais, but the Luftwaffe were preventing it from being taken off the ships.